Okay, imagine this scene. It's pretty chilling.
Yeah.
A required school trip, right? Something you have to do.
Maybe not even thrilled about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Heading up a mountain, and then bam, suddenly,
Everything goes wrong.
it just transforms into this desperate fight for survival.
Against a storm that just comes out of nowhere. Brutal.
Yeah, just an overwhelming force of nature.
That kind of scenario, it just immediately grabs you, doesn't it?
It really does.
Because it's so unexpected, and you think about how vulnerable they were.
Right. Strips away all the normal routine
Well,
stuff.
you see how fast control can just vanish.
Totally. So today, this deep dive, we're really getting into the tragic details of the 1986 Mount Hood climbing disaster.
Right, that one.
And this wasn't like a group of super experienced mountaineers going for a summit.
No, not the typical expedition you might think of.
Our source material really focuses on this. It was mainly high school students.
Just kids, really.
Yeah.
Caught in something completely unthinkable.
Yeah. And the sources, they give a really detailed account of the event, the conditions, what happened afterwards.
Which was just heartbreaking.
Absolutely.
So our mission today, as we kind of explore this with you, is to get beyond just the basic facts.
Yeah, more than headlines.
We want to try and understand the sequence, how things unfolded,
Step by step.
and really delve into what that experience must have been like, being trapped up there, based on what the sources say.
God, yeah.
And then sit with those really difficult questions that the material says still linger, haunting questions.
Decades later, yeah. So let's start at the beginning. Set the scene a bit.
Oh, okay.
It was a specific group involved. 20 high school students. Oregon Episcopal School.
Right.
They weren't alone, though. They had three adult guys with them, experienced ones, and two instructors from the school.
And the context here is really, really important. The source stresses this.
How so?
This wasn't just some like optional trip or a fun club activity. No, it was actually part of a required wilderness survival program the school ran.
Oh, wow. Required.
Yeah. So it was meant to be, a learning experience, a challenge, but inside a structured, supposedly safe environment.
Right.
Okay.
So they started their climb May 12th, 1986.
That's the date.
And the source material notes initially the conditions were reported as clear.
Supposedly clear.
You can kind of picture it, can't you?
Yeah.
Spring day, maybe a bit crisp on the mountain.
Yeah. Standard climb expectations, part of the program.
You head up, feeling the effort maybe, but probably feeling pretty confident in the plan, in the guides.
It was, by all accounts from the source, just a routine start. Nothing alarming yet.
And that's what makes the change, the turning point, is
Yeah.
so stark, so jarring.
That expectation of clear weather, even on a mountain in spring, just shattered.
Completely, because the situation didn't just like gradually get worse.
No, it wasn't a slow build.
It shifted terrifyingly fast and hard.
Incredibly fast. 1 minute climbing, the next.
You're inside it. The source pinpoints this happening somewhere around 10,000 feet.
Which is already serious altitude. Conditions can be tough there anywhere.
For sure. But it was the speed of the change that was just critical.
Absolutely critical. The source describes it not just as a storm, but a brutal storm
Brutal.
that just slammed into the mountain hard and fast.
Wow.
So we're talking near instant whiteout, temperatures plummeting, vicious winds.
Oh my God.
And at that altitude, with that kind of speed, you have basically zero warning.
No time to react.
And crucially, almost no time to even think about a safe way down. They were just trapped.
Trapped by the weather hitting them like that.
Exactly.
Trapped.
Wow.
Wow. And what came next was, well, it's unimaginable.
The ordeal they faced.
The source describes their survival efforts, right? Trying desperately to cope.
With these sudden, brutal
They
conditions.
tried digging into the snow,
Yeah.
making what the source calls makeshift caves.
Yeah, snow caves. Imagine the desperation. Using whatever they had, maybe just hands.
Could be. Just clawing into the snowpack. Anything for shelter from that wind, that cold.
It's primal, isn't it? Digging in, finding cover.
Totally. And this wasn't just for, a few hours.
No, that's the staggering part.
The source material makes it really clear. They endured this for two agonizing days.
2 days trapped up there.
Frozen, starving. Just think about the sheer physical effort, the mental toll.
Minute by minute survival, the cold, the wind, the hunger, not knowing what's happening.
58 hours, maybe? Something like that. Huddled in snow holes.
Exposed, waiting for a break, hoping for rescue, but nobody even knew they were in trouble yet.
God, Each hour must have felt like an eternity.
And the source gives this detail, this sensory detail about that time. It's haunting.
Yes. This is the part that just stays with you. The source says the kids sat in silence.
Silex.
Listening to the wind. And slowly slipping away.
Ugh. That image, it just captures the horror, doesn't it?
It really does. It's not some dramatic fight at the end.
No. It's this quiet, cold waiting. The only sound is the storm raging outside.
And inside the shelter, just silence, maybe shivering, quiet breaths.
As their strength, their hope just faded.
That silence.
Yeah.
It says so much, doesn't it?
It really does. Exhaustion, hypothermia kicking in, maybe unable to even talk or comfort each other.
Yeah.
It's like the sound of energy just draining away, the body giving up.
And the wind outside, just this constant roar, reminding them.
That they were trapped, yeah.
So the source says death was starting to creep in. It puts it like that.
Inevitable, it must have felt.
And in that situation, one of the instructors, he made an incredibly difficult choice.
Feeling, maybe? Maybe there's no hope staying there.
Right. He decided to leave the group. Try to get down alone for help.
Wow. A final gamble. Incredibly risky. Courageous, too.
To leave even that tiny bit of shelter. Face the storm alone.
Hoping against hope he could make it. Reach someone.
And the source says he did manage to get down. Collapsed eventually into a rescue station lower on the mountain.
He made it. Barely.
And his arrival, this figure stumbling out of the storm, completely weakened. That was the trigger.
Finally. The alarm bell.
His survival, his appearance, it kicked off this massive search effort for everyone else.
After 2 days lost up there, the world finally knew. Rescue could start.
But it was hope arriving so late, wasn't it?
Tragically late. Mobilizing a big mountain search, especially in those conditions, that takes time. Even after, you know.
Yeah. And what the rescuers found when they finally located the group.
It's hard to even talk about, even now.
They found the shelters. The place where they'd huddled.
And the reality of what those 2 days had done, it was clear straight away.
The outcome was just grim. 9 students had died on the mountain.
9 young people.
And the source includes this specific detail.
Mm.
But the discovery, it's just, it's shattering.
What was it?
It says some of the students were found curled in the snow.
Oh, no.
With their arms around each other.
Oh, God. In their final moments, seeking warmth, comfort, connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to be together. It just humanizes it so much.
After
just tragedy.
Absolutely heartbreaking. And the survivors they found.
Critical condition. Barely alive. Severe frostbite. Hypothermia.
Pushed right to the absolute limit of human endurance. And beyond for some.
Summing up that cost.
Yeah.
9 lives lost. Others marked forever on a required school trip.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Hard to process the weight of it.
And this tragedy, as the source really makes clear, it didn't just end when the rescue was over.
No.
It left behind these huge questions, lingering questions, haunting ones, the source calls them, unresolved.
This is where it moves beyond the physical ordeal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Into the deeper, more troubling stuff.
Exactly. The source points to specific questions that just demand answers. But maybe answers aren't really possible.
Which ones does it highlight?
Well, the first one cuts right to the planning, the decision-making before they even started.
Okay.
Why were they sent up the mountain when, according to the source, warnings had already been issued?
Wait, warnings? That adds a whole other layer, doesn't it?
It suggests preventability. A chance it didn't have to happen this way.
Does the source say what kind of warnings? Like general advisories or specific forecasts?
It states warnings had been issued. That's the key phrase. Implying information was available that should have, you know, raised red flags.
Right.
It doesn't detail the exact warnings or who knew what when, not in the parts we have, but just asking why go if warnings existed.
That's huge, especially for a required school program where safety should be paramount.
It forces you to think, was this just unavoidable nature or was it partly down to judgment calls made earlier?
Yeah. Risk assessment.
Yeah.
Responsibility. Pressure to run the program, maybe.
Difficult questions about the whole setup.
Wow. Okay. That one alone is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the second question, the source highlights.
This one goes back to that detail we talked about, the silence.
Okay.
How long did the kids sit in silence, listening to the wind in each other, slowly slipping away?
So shifting from the why to the what it was like. Exactly. To the raw human experience in those final hours. It's not what happened physically, but the feeling of it inside that snow cave as strength just ebbed away.
We know it was 2 days total,
mm-hmm.
but there must have been a point where trying to survive actively shifted.
Right. to just waiting as the cold took over.
What was that shift like? When did the digging stop? When did the silence really begin? How aware were they?
Were they conscious, drifting? Could they still talk for a while? We don't know.
The source gives us the image. Silence. Slipping away. But the question asks us to really think about the duration, the experience of that awful, quiet end.
It's about the unknowable, the internal experience facing death. We know the physical facts, the storm, the rescue.
But this question pushes us towards the psychological, the emotional reality.
Yeah, these are the core unresolved things, really unresolvable, not just for investigators, but for anyone thinking about, you know, human limits, endurance, and how decisions made far away impact lives in extreme moments.
Connects this one event to bigger themes. Loss, suffering, vulnerability. Mm. And the source material, it wraps up by reinforcing just how devastating this was.
Calling it one of the most tragic, yes.
And crucially, one of the most preventable mountaineering disasters in American history.
That word again, preventable. Such a stark assessment.
It really is.
It's a powerful lesson, isn't it? Tragically learned about respecting mountains.
Absolutely. And weather forecasts.
Yeah.
Contingency plans.
And the absolute need to err on the side of caution. Always. Especially with young people involved.
The fact that warnings might have been available just makes that preventable label sting even more.
It really does.
Thinking about those decisions made beforehand and then contrasting it with that final quiet waiting on the mountain.
Yeah.
That sound of the wind, the silence inside, the gradual slipping away.
The source leaves us right there, doesn't it? With that profound, haunting question.
Just how long did that silence last? Before the end.
So long indeed.